Hello, and good evening to America and everyone around the world and out of the country. I am so happy to be here on tonight, and it's great to be here. I'm your host, Kiana the Artist, and we have a guest all the way from California, Mr. Dion. I am so happy for him to be on tonight. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about our podcast and who we are and what I do around the world. And I'm glad that I have your listeners coming all the way from everywhere. Our topic for tonight is generation to generation. The Journey Artists Around the World is a platform designed for artists to market their content and promote their crafts by showing their artistic talents, ability, gifts, and powers. The platform also offers an opportunity for the audience to hear, learn, and get inspired. Through the program, we will open your mind to share and listen. It's also important for us to state the creativity who have overcome different struggles such as depression, drugs, discrimination, disability, and highly welcome to come forward and share their life stories. We're happy, and we're so happy for our guest to be a part of the show. And our guest is Mr. Dion Slider. How are you doing on tonight?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad our audience is out there listening to you and listening to this beautiful podcast on tonight. And where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Fresno.
Okay.
Fresno, California. But I'm in Los Angeles now. Actually, I'm in the San Bernardino Mountains, which is San Bernardino County, so LA.
Okay. Nice. That is so nice. And can you please tell us more about your journey as an artist, as a poet, and have your life been as an artist?
Oh man. Wow. Because the question is so like it's like I've always created something in my life, especially growing up. Just the imagination for me was key in just dealing with certain situations. So I would always, when people ask me, well, how long you been writing and stuff like that, I've been in some type of book or writing something. Either it's a rap, I wanted to be a rapper one time growing up, saw Run DMC, and that changed my life. And just being able to just finding out that I was really good at that. And I love like the dictionary, you know what I mean?
Oh, nice.
I would just sit and just read the dictionary for some reason because I love words. I love the words are so powerful. And learning new things, even to this day, I still do that. So it's always been instilled in me. Now, as far as actually sitting down and writing some stuff, I've done that, and that's how I got my wife, was through poetry. She's an artist as well, and I would just, she gave me a book by Langston Hughes that really kind of just changed my perspective. And then, Maya Angelou was another influence as well. Nikki Giovanni, the Last Poet. But actually, to my poets were rappers, Pac being one of them, just storytellers in Melly Mel and Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five being, when they dropped the message, I was like, wow, because it just depicted everything that you wanted to say in a form that didn't really need that much explaining. It came from the heart. You know what I mean? It wasn't Shakespeare. Shakespeare is, is beautiful, but it's long and drawn out, and sometimes you can get lost in the dialogue. But when somebody's specific and they're just telling you, like, look, this is what's happening in my world, and you go, wow, I can relate to that. That's what came
in. Yes.
Okay, cool. You know, so. Oh,
interesting. Nice.
So, yeah, that would be my start as a poet.
Okay.
And the question is, how is that continuing to this day?
Yes.
Oh. You know, to see, it's different to actually, you know, just to write a rap, right? You write a rap, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to write a song, to write something, to write a piece that you paint the picture with words.
Yes.
And that's the journey I'm on right now, is the constant growth in this craft.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning I was, you know, a lot of it was angry, you know, just doing in the situation that we're in. And, you know, it was anger or love. But it wasn't, you know, I'm a father, you know what I mean? I'm a son, I'm all these things, you know, and then being where I'm at for the last 4 or 5 years in nature has really opened my perspective as well, because there's no distractions. You know, there's the clarity of the beauty of the trees. It's the it's the lakes. It's the birds and the animals and all that stuff. You know, so those things come into play as well, because there's a lot more peace in my life. There's a lot more serenity, which, you know, brings a different perspective to the craft as well. But I still try to keep that edge too. So all I gotta do is turn on the news.
Oh yes, thank you.
It changes the perspective as well. But yes, you know, I also have teenagers too. They'll do that as well.
Okay, interesting. And would you like to say, what is your accomplice that you are proud of? Have you any books published? Any virtual contacts or any CDs?
My accomplishment, one of my greatest accomplishments, is that I started.
That's a blessing.
Started.
Mm-hmm.
I put something in plan about 3 years ago. I did a visualization where you sit down and really sit down and think about how you want your life to look. And I did that, and that was one of the things that kind of set everything in motion for me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best things I did was I took a creative writing class, and that gave me structure. Yeah, that gave me structure. And once that structure kicked in, and then it gave me a discipline. And once that discipline kicked, you know, getting up writing every day, and the challenges and the prompts and all those things, and that started the academic aspect of it, because as far as punctuation and things like that, I'm not really, you know, I'm a lot better. And even
that's
as words too, and even trying to use different words for the same thing, you know, is another thing too that I've been working on as well. So one of my accomplishments is starting. The other one would be jumping in these open mics, virtuals, as you know, and just putting, because, you know, my poem is like my child. You know what I'm saying? You know,
that's a good thing. Yes.
All children ain't cute.
Yes. You got to hold on to it. You got a baby in it. Exactly. And go for it. Yes.
Yes.
That is so a blessing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And so doing that, really nurturing the craft, really be, and one of my mentors told me this, and it stuck with me. She said, just become a steward of the poetic community. Just become a good steward. And I did. And I jumped in feet first and just started volunteering and doing all kind of, you know, stuff that to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, outside my comfort zone as well, and that's another thing that I found that's accomplishing for me as well. And then what I've done too is not compare myself to other people's.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, even, you know, because we live on that gram, and that gram will have you look at other people's lives.
Yes.
A lot of the times that stuff is like, oh, you know, you start peeling, going behind the scenes. They ain't living that way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't, and, but for me, I like, okay, they, you know, that person does this and that person does, they got this, so many fault, whatever. But I got to realize too, is that my journey is my journey, you know?
Yeah.
It's been told to me that my creator knows every hair on my head, you know? So it's like, okay. And every tear that I've cried is not going to go forsaken. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. if I stay due diligence to this craft and give it everything that I possibly can give it, it will take care of me. And it has. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm not talking about, you know, a bunch of money is falling out of the sky. No, I'm talking about opportunities and, mm-hmm. you know, and just being able to just really hone in on this.
Yes.
This gift that we have. So.
Interesting. And can you please tell us more about the struggles that you have overcome so far and what's enabled you to overcome such struggles?
You don't have enough time. That's two or three podcasts in a row, but I'll try to keep it brief.
Yes.
The struggles. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being an African-American male, coming out the womb, post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
Just in what we had, this is what I had to learn how to survive in certain areas and aspects. But the blessing in that was that I had parents who didn't settle, and I come from a generation of those who were always in the fight for freedom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I come from a background of Garveyites, and my grandmother was a, you know, she was a rebel as well, and so was my mom, and my dad was, you know, they all had this audacity to want to be recognized as people, and in mm-hmm. in that fight, they instilled those values in me. So I never wanted anything other than to be the best version of myself. Now, unfortunately, my parents, you know, as great as they were, they had demons, and they passed away. My mother passed away when I was my father passed away first. So we would say, you know, I was 12 when he passed away. And then my mother passed away when I was like 14. And both due to just lifestyles having to do with drugs and alcohol. Now, mm-hmm. That right there threw me in the tailspin, because mm-hmm. those people, especially my dad, was because I needed him. You know, 12, 13-year-old man, young man trying to figure this out. And unfortunately, what happened to me was I stopped trying. You know, mm-hmm. you know, here's this bright kid, you know, nerd at this point. Mm-hmm. just trying to, I wanted to be Spider-Man, if you want to keep it real. But, just in the comic books and whatever the case may be, in reading, and then, you know, having to learn how to survive mm-hmm. on that skill set that wasn't developed. So now mm-hmm. I'm in school, and it's like, you know, and that was the turn. That was right around the time when crack cocaine came in, and my neighborhood went from, you know, middle class to a war zone. And when yes. that happened, you know, it really, like everybody else, you know, I saw mm-hmm. people in my life just, you know, who were once, who had the potential, and they were doing well. And, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood where, you know, you were raised by the block. You know, if something yes. happened, the neighbor down the street already knew, and she would tell your grandmother, because my grandmother was like the queen of the block. So mm-hmm. when crack came, it destroyed, oh my gosh, so many people. Mm-hmm. And I saw that. And then, you know, now he's like, okay, now the energy is about getting rich, everybody trying to get their money now and everything like that.
Yes.
You know, so instead of me picking up a book, I picked up some dope and the game. And when I did that, that right there hardened me, because you had the innocence was taken away,
mm-hmm.
placed in a situation of survival. And when that happened, you know, mm-hmm. That's when the beast comes out. That's when the anger and the frustration and the violence. So I was on my way to jail, if you want to keep it real. Because everybody around me was either dying or going to prison. And there wasn't no, you know, and my grandfather was sick and my mom, it was, you know, I was at that testosterone age and where my sons were at, right? Mm-hmm. It was just like, you can't tell me anything. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I
don't
know what I'm going to do. And, you know, and I had people telling me, you know, you got potential. You could do this. You could do that. And I said, man, I don't want to hear that right now because this world is really the pressure. I ain't got my parents. You know what I mean? And
yes.
Boys, my block is the one that's showing me. And
interesting.
So that I had to overcome and, you know, and ended up becoming an addict.
And wow.
Yeah. So at 18, 19 years old, as I was out there and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen New Jack City?
Oh, yes.
I was pookie, but I just snitched, though. I just snitched.
Oh, interesting. And, nice.
And
mm-hmm.
I remember going to my grandmother's house at about 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And in the house, you know, trying to get in the house. Because, you know, I would go to her house, get a shower, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. And she shut the door in my face and said, you can't come here no more.
Wow. Interesting.
See the pain in her eyes.
Wow.
I had to figure it out. And then I found myself on a Greyhound bus to Los Angeles.
And wow. Interesting. Great story. Yeah. And so, would you be able to give advice to poets facing the same similar challenge that you have to manage to overcome?
Oh, wow. Well, so when I came to LA, I had to admit that I had a problem. You know, one of the things I had to do in any situation as far as growth. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I had to admit that I needed the help. And so when I got the help,
mm-hmm.
I got mentorship. I remember a brother, man, he just pulled me to the side and took, matter of fact, he took me to Skid Row, which is downtown LA, San Pedro, if you ever, it's crazy. He took me down there and he was a former actor at the time. And he's like, look, if you want to lose everything, continue to live that lifestyle. Because he told me everything fits in a pipe, everything fits in a bottle, and everything fits in a needle. That includes your life, your family, everything.
Yes. And he said,
if you want to do that, this is where you're going to end up. And it was right around the time when all the homeless were coming out of their the tents and they were lighting their fires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was like, I don't want to do it. So when I made that decision in myself, I said, I fell in love with myself. I started to get the help that I needed. And that's what I would encourage anybody in that situation is to get the help. But in getting that help, that really opened up journaling. You know, that was one of the things that we had to do as well, is like write everything down. And in that process, you know, I started to look at my life in a different perspective. And that's what, you know, life is perspective. Mm-hmm. And I saw myself in a different light. And as a poet, as we create situations, as storytellers, we can create worlds.
Oh, yes.
What world are we living in now? What world are you living in now?
Yeah.
What is your reality now?
And
if it's detrimental, if it's not living up to your potential, if it's not doing things that you need to do just to be a good human being, then it's time to recheck yourself. And that's what I had to do. I had to look at this and go, hey, dude, you.
Mm-hmm.
Too much.
I know you got some poetry tonight for your audience. I know you have that now.
Yeah, I do. And my first piece that I was going to say is called, I didn't title it yet, but I wrote it in January, February, March, April, in April.
Mm-hmm.
And this piece is titled 4/17/22. And it just tells about, I said this piece in front of my sister, who was the one who raised me after my parents died. Drifting on a memory. Lavender and pink are the colors I choose. From a place you've never heard of or know far too well, where train tracks sever the copper spine of atrophied Yokut land, dividing blue-collared hopes from off-white perspectives. Here, jam-colored dreams of apartheid survivors black pepper her vast cosmos with prayer-kissed possibility. Possibility Pawpaw's blue-black eyes never got a chance to see. When Granny's love was the shade of Nile, like degrees used to salve the scalps of future amethysts. I'm from Tap Tap When It Itch, Love Made You Rich, Domino Games, Soul-colored cornmeal fried fish. Piles of collars in various hues of emerald and indigo, like the methadone used to cure mama's demons. Demons that turn chocolate souls as rojo as the crystal hot sauce I drowned them in. It's on the corner of rose and sapphire, with sweet potato flesh royalty living on borrowed time of a borrowed deity. I'm told called life. Peach cobbler a la mode. That's my piece.
Ooh. Yes. We're so excited for that poem. I am so happy that you wrote that poem. That poem, your audience liking the show. They're so in tune in it. We love that poem. So, as a poet, what is it like to be on this platform, the Journey Artists Around the World podcast?
On this platform, we had talked about this before, is a beautiful place to be, especially with like-minded people like yourself, and giving artists an opportunity to show their craft. And really, like we had talked about earlier, how this podcast and how this internet has definitely shrunk the world, you know, and we have a lot more in common than we think. So
interesting. That's so in tune. Continue to show your craft around the world to all the people. So we know you have another poem for us. I know your audience want another poem from Mr. Dion. So, Dion, show us another poem.
This piece I wrote, once again, you know, the self-help aspect is so important for me. Because I have told myself, listen, I can throw a pity party with the best of them. But I got to remind myself of whose I am. Mm-hmm. Where I come from.
Yes.
It's called That I Am. It's not because you say I am. I'm simply because I'm me. Even before you tainted my mother's womb with your thoughts of perception, it has been written that the universe knew me. She gives me everything I need from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. No, it's not you that tells me my worth. To her, I'm priceless like the smiles on children. Your hate deemed me invaluable, a perception based on lies believed. Fooled me to thinking I was nothing. I believed in you. Acting in accordance to your wishes, I was playing the fool. However, scales that once blinded are now removed. Ears once deafened by your screams of hate, now open to the sweet voice of truth. My voice, once trapped behind pursed lips and gritted teeth, is now free to speak. I am that I am. Peace.
Yay. Love that poem. We're so excited. They're liking your show. It really, really is good. We thank you for your two beautiful poems. Continue to write. Continue to stay creative. Continue to stay brilliant and smart. If you was able to offer advice to the next generation poets who wish to become a poet, what would it be? And what steps would you recommend them to be?
What advice would I give student of the craft? If you are a spoken word artist, learn sonnets. If you are a sonnet writer, learn haikus. If you are a one-dimensional poet, learn the craft. I honestly, this is just coming from experience. I used to think that some pieces were just like, what is that? No, you break it down, you're like, oh my goodness. And classes, it clears up everything, but it adds to the repertoire. It adds to the repertoire. Like, just the vocabulary alone enhances, you know, what you want to speak about, especially when it comes to love or even death. There's so many ways to say it. And, you know, I would just become just fall in love with the craft, you know. Everything has poetry in it, especially just where everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just look for the poetry in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would suggest.
Which is a good thing. Yeah. The more you write, the more you become creative.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter what you do, no matter how it goes, just continue to write.
Get into a routine. Yes, a writing routine, like, is so important. Because anything takes work. Like sports, read book, anything. Like, my son's a musician, and he's like, "Pops, I write 3 songs a day." I'm like, "What?" Mm-hmm. He's like, "You have to. It's real. Because if you're not doing it, trust me, somebody else is."
Yes. Creativity starts when you write.
Making a discipline of it, because if you're true about this game, you know, you really have to be on top of it. You know, just like with anything else, you know.
Interesting. And you have another poem for us. We know you do, because we love your poems.
Now, I told you I wanted to be a rapper. But here we are. I'm a Tupac Shakur fan. Like, Pac is and one thing we know Pac from the hip hop or whatever the case may be, but he was also he was a poet as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading one of his pieces, A Rose That Grew From the Concrete, and it made me, this is an ode to him. It's a short piece, and I read this it was a community garden, and they did a grand opening for this community. Oh my gosh, this community got together and made this garden, and they feeding the block. It's incredible. And this is one of the pieces, this is one of the poems I said, and it's called Shakur. Have you heard the story about the rose that grew from the ashes? Breaking man's law, she chooses to dance. Keeping in step with antebellum dreams and no longer encased in smoke, she inhales deeply the breath of nature's possibility. In search for that elusive plot of land called freedom. Thank you.
Love the poem. Rest in peace, Tupac Shakur. And we just love the poems and so of your creativity, your work, everything that you bring to us. We're so happy for you to be the guest on here for the Journey Artists Around the World podcast.
Yes.
And we love for you to do another poem for us.
This piece that I'm about to do is honestly one of my faves, because it's inspired from John Henry Clark, who was a historian who, in my journey of self, really opened my eyes to a lot of things that we have done and we have contributed to this world that has not been given the light has not been shown on it. As a parent of 7 children, and we homeschooled 5 of the 7, and I was the one who taught history. And one of the things I had to remember was that our history started before 1619. We're talking 18,000 years before Roman or Greek history, but that's not told. What we hear is, you know, diluted stories of lopsided stories. There's no real merit to what we have given. So I was just thinking about our history. And this is called Pigpen Epiphany. You see, I am what has been before. Royalty carrying civilization upon the wind of instinct up south the Happy River to bare feet on the warm clay of Mexico. Inca warrior in stance. No, Mayan warrior in stance. No. Zulu warrior in stance. I have ran undiscovered eyes along. I'm sorry. I have ran midnight eyes along undiscovered sunsets en route to destiny. Columbus who? Yes, I. Draped in gold, chains of gold that lay chunky on the purple earth of Shaka have kissed the lips of Amazonian queens drunk on the wine of victory, only to see them die under the weight of bondage. Yes, I have read ebony fingers along the hull of a slave ship named Jesus Maria, while blue-black faces wet blue-black tears. Yes, I, what has been and will always be. That's my piece.
Woo! Yes. Love the poem. It's so creative. You got to keep writing. Be creative. Don't stop. Where you can find, where everybody can find your information at?
I'm on the gram. Dion Jamal Poetry. Follow me. I got a... Lord, just give me this. Whew. I got a book that I'm working on called Black Who. And these are, you know, Black Who is for me is what my grandfathers used, well, my grandparents used to survive in this experiment called America. And they're saying that I remember my grandfather saying that just made, you know, at the time you're like, what? Scratch your head and go, what are you talking about? And as I've gotten older, I find myself saying them. And I've told my children a lot of these things. But they're sayings that give us a meaning of, they give us a spirit of hope, but they also give us an essence of who we are. And yes. one of the things that, you know, my grandfather always instilled in me was that you belong. Now, this wasn't made for you. But you belong. If it wasn't not for you, none of this would happen. If I'm making sense.
Yes.
And here, but we placed in a situation where we were told that we were less than. But like I said, my grandfather had the audacity to just instill in me, no. This is who you are. And I thank God for him. You know, I really thank God for him. Now, it took a while for it to reach. But, you know, after I'll be 51 this year. And it's like, as an African-American male to hit 50? Oh, come on now. Mm. Come on now, and have at least the right mind and be in a place to contribute to the community, because I could have easily been in jail or dead, you know.
Yes.
So I remember that as well. And a lot of it was, you know, it was those influences in my life. So I pray that my poems do that. They educate. I pray that, you know, that they enlighten. And
yes.
That they give hope, and that they have they put that wind in the sails of our people,
yes.
and give us that what we need in order for us to keep it pushing, because at the end of the day, you know, we ain't guaranteed nothing,
no,
at all. So just make the best of it. That makes
you gave us a lot of encouraging word, you know, for ourselves and for the audience. And who they supposed to be, you know. And sometimes in life, like you said, learning who we are as a person, you know, to overcome all these struggles, to overcome these pains. And, you know, as for the subject was generations from generations. So can you leave something for, you say you're breaking generation curses and, from that generation from generation, can you leave them with something?
Yes, I can. I'm going to leave you with this. don't be afraid to apologize. One of the things that I've learned in my generation is that my parents never apologized. The elders never, like, even in disciplining me in a certain way, for when a child asks why, or, you know, it's not out of disrespect. It's an understanding of them wanting to know, and not just because I said so. That doesn't do it. Okay, you said so, but then what? But I had to learn how to parent a different way, to sit my child down, to take a breath, to look them in the eye, to have those conversations of instilling in them is that I'm not here to disrespect you, but protect you. That's what I would leave for this generation, is never be afraid to better yourself. You know, there's nothing wrong with therapy. There's nothing wrong with groups. There's nothing wrong with journaling. There's nothing wrong with meditation. There's nothing wrong with yoga. We done all that. And black people don't know. We invented all of that.
Yes.
Stepped away. We was in a 500 room that was locked, a 500 year room that was locked. So now we open and we do it all. Mm-hmm. He invented it all. It came from us. So meditate, get out there in nature, ground yourself to the dirt, get a garden, do something that's going to enhance who you are. And somebody told me this too, and it was kind of, I was like, what? It was John Henry Clark said this. He said, if you sometimes you feel like you don't got no friends, look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Fall in love with, that should be your best friend. And if you ain't got no friend when you look in the mirror, then you just don't have one. So fall in love with yourself, to make the audacity that you should love yourself to the point of you would do anything for you. Spills out. It's not selfish. Mm-hmm. Spills out into everything. It's your cup. You fill up your cup with self-love. It's going to flow into your family. It's going to flow into your job. It's going to flow into your poetry.
Yes.
But it all starts from you. And,
yes.
And shaking whatever they told you. Whoever told you, if they told you was stupid, if they told you had ADHD, they told you all this stuff. And half the time, and I say this in a piece, I said, sometimes the ADHD is our creativity in its infancy. And we also have to talk to those inner children. You remember that one that got hurt at 6, and that other one that got hurt at 12, and the other one.
Yes.
So at 50 years old, I can't be throwing fits because my 16-year-old or my 8-year-old wants to come out. I have to nourish that 18. And this is all stuff of just breaking generational stuff. It's just going within and just really, really focusing on healing. That's what I'm
saying. Yes.
So.
Yes. And there you go, people. Deion Slider. So we are so happy for you to be on our podcast on this Thursday, August 11th, 2022. And once again, you can go ahead and let them know where they can follow you at.
You can follow me on the gram, Deion, D-I-O-N, Jamal, J-A-H-M-A-L, Poetry, P-O-E-T-R-Y, and I think that's it. And
then,
I have more information on my book. The manuscript is done. I'm just trying to figure out who's gonna publish it. But anyway,
yes. Well, there you have it, guys. Thank you for coming to the Journey Artists Around the World podcast. I'm your host, Kiana the Artist. Yeah. You can get us again next Thursday at 9:30 p.m. Same time, same place. We'll see you next time. Have a great evening. Bye. Good night, everyone.
Night, y'all. Thank you.